right. If someone could get me a glass of water or maybe something stronger, I like coffee black, I'd appreciate it. All right, if you got your Bible, let's go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, and I want to try to help us this morning to look at ourselves, look at what we've picked up in this fellowship meeting. Certainly are not exiting fellowship meeting empty-handed, are we? I feel like God has accomplished a whole lot, and His Word has gone forth, and it's gone forth with purpose. I think it's a shame if God did His work, and then we miss our part, and we just kind of go back to what we were before. We ought to be leaving better today, so appreciate the Word of God. All right, Revelation 21, and we're going to read 1 through 5, and it says, this is John, he said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, what was John? John was a man in the flesh. You can put your name in there. Put your name in there this morning, because there's something, thank you, there's something that you need to be able to see, and there's something you need to be able to comprehend, something you need to be able to appreciate. Right? John was in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, wasn't he? And if you're a spiritual man or a woman, there are some things that you're going to see through spiritual eyes. And it's going to do something to your soul. It's also going to do something to your physical being, isn't it? It's going to do something to your mind, isn't it? They're all connected. And so John saw something very glorious, and he wrote these things down for our good. But what John saw is not an anomaly. It's not something that only John was able to see. It's something for us to see, isn't it? And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you glad that God's Spirit dwells within our hearts? Did you feel it this week? Did He witness to you this week? "It's with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said unto him, "Write, for these words are true and they are faithful." This is something to be seen. It's something to be experienced. It's an absolute. You're a spiritual man or woman, seeing the church of God, it ought to be as firm as anything. It ought to be one of those experiences that you can't replace with anything else. You don't really know it until you see it for yourself. Thank God we see the beautiful church of God. This is something that John wrote for our good. He saw the church as a bride, pure, beautiful, spotless, undefiled, prepared for her husband. Who's her husband? It's Christ. Christ who gave Himself that He might purchase her, and He did. He purchased her. He cleansed her. He built her. He gave her a foundation to be built upon. And God wants us, Christ, He cares so much, He wants to see us to be kept, doesn't He? He's very protective over His bride. I'd say she's worth keeping. She's worth being kept, isn't she? You see it that way? She's worth being kept pure. She's worth being kept spotless. You know, when someone is precious to another, think about your greatest relationship, somebody that's precious to you. When somebody is important, they are valued, it causes us to be protective, to be caring, to be watchful. Sometimes you have that, it's almost like that burden of responsibility comes over you that nobody else is more important to me than my wife. I care a lot about her. I watch for her to make it in today. Very important. She was in church today. guess it was important I'm in church today. Maybe. And so it causes us to be careful, doesn't it? Watchful, because we love something, we care for it. Christ loves his church. Christ was watching us all week. He watched us all weekend. Christ is watching us today. He cares more about the church than we ourselves could possibly care for it. In 2 Corinthians 11 and 2, Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. All right, I'm not trying to get too deep for you this morning. I hope your brains are working, but there's something for us to see. There's something for us to comprehend, isn't there? Right? The church isn't looking for belonging. The church isn't looking for belonging. We belong to Christ. We belong to Christ. Christ looks upon us. He says, that's the apple of my eye. I care about nothing more than my bride. I care for nothing more than the church of God. We belong to Christ. The church has to keep their attention back on Christ. We have to be a faithful bride, don't we? Faithful bride, not looking for other options. Right? Do we belong to Christ? Do we belong to Christ all through the week? Are we looking around? Are we letting other things distract us? Paul used that thought of being espoused. Espousal was a legal binding of commitment between a bride and a groom. And in that day of time, it was more than just a modern engagement. We see people get engaged today, and they might never make it to the altar. They might never make it to the courthouse. You really want to get married, you make it happen pretty quick. But back then, that thought of marriage, perhaps it was given a little more weight. There was preparation made. There was a lot of effort that went into making sure that commitment was a firm commitment on both sides. It was more than just a modern engagement. It was a pledging of oneself to the other after the groom had paid a price to the bride's family. Those of you that may someday become a groom, you don't have to pay a price to the family, but you will pay for the rest of your life. I didn't mean that. It's a pledging of oneself. There was a price that was paid. In return for that price that was paid, there was a legal expectation of faithfulness. You can study the Mosaic Law that when somebody was betrothed to somebody else, it was legally binding. Somebody had pledged. Somebody had made a covenant, right? There was an expectation of faithfulness. During that time of betrothal, the groom would go and prepare a home. Hasn't Christ said that I've gone to prepare a place for you? And if it were not so, I wouldn't tell you that. He's true to his commitment, isn't he? He's very true to his commitment. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And what do we have? We have a great expectation of his return, don't we? I look forward to Christ coming back. Being with the saints, we've had such a wonderful time. We've enjoyed the fellowship. And it makes you hunger. It develops an appetite within you, doesn't it? Makes you long to be even more with God. We look forward to that day when Christ returns. Even today, Christ visits his church, doesn't he? He visits us. He visited us this week, felt his presence. Thank God for his word. It was alive to us. Did you hear it? Did it witness to your soul? Was it sweet to you? It's sweet to us. That thought in 2 Corinthians 11 and 2, Paul was concerned that the church was not to be led astray or tempted to spiritual adultery by false teachers, grievous woes, by influence, by false doctrine, or the wind of doctrine that would lead them to a state of unfaithfulness to Christ. That time of betrothal was a time of proving that commitment to the other. And we're in a time right now where we're waiting for the return of Christ. But what are we doing in this time? There has to be a proving of our commitment to Christ. This is a time of proving our commitment. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He paid a price for us. What are we doing? What are we doing? We're not going to read it, but you can read about the 10 foolish virgins. That is all about the church awaiting Christ's return. And there are some people that will take that very seriously, and there's some people that will just nonchalantly take an approach of, I'm going to look good, and I'll be mostly ready. Mostly ready isn't ready. Mostly ready isn't committed. Mostly ready isn't bought in. Mostly ready is not expecting that return of Christ. And so this is a time of proving our commitment. Our title this morning, The Health of Your Relationship with Christ. The health of your relationship with Christ. Christ has a healthy relationship with his church. You look at his side of this relationship. It's healthy. Is there any doubt of Christ's love for the church? Any doubt in your mind? None whatsoever. John 15 and 9 says, As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. He loved us when we were unlovable, didn't he? And he saved us. And then it stopped, right? It continues. It continues. It says later in verse 16, Christ says, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He picked us. He called us one day. He called us to be a part of something beautiful, something lovely. He made us pure. Thank God. Let's go over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. We have some of our new converts here today, so I want to explain this. You're going to hear some terms as you continue to come to church. You're going to hear about the bride. You're going to hear about the body of Christ. All right? I want you to understand these things. Ephesians 1, verse 22, it says, And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You say, Brother Micah, you said the church is the bride, but then you just read here and it says that that is his body. Yes, it's one and the same. One and the same. Let's explain this. Ephesians 5 and 24. It's a beautiful thing for us to see and understand how much Christ loves the church. Ephesians 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And what did he do? He just say he loved us? He gave himself for it, didn't he? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Thank God for the preaching of the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. He loves us. As his own body, doesn't he? He loves us as his own body. The love of Christ over his church is as his own flesh. His love for the church is not a self-centered love. It's not self-seeking, self-indulgent. Though he is worthy of all that we can give to him. Christ was never self-seeking. And he isn't today. Word of God tells us he took on the form of a servant. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's where that purchase was made. He paid the ultimate price for his church. He paid that handsome price for his beautiful bride. And he continues to serve, doesn't he? He continues to serve us. He continues to add to her, doesn't he? He has added to us. He has added to the church. It's not a poor bride that's just waiting on some rich, handsome prince to come along. He has added wealth to us. He didn't go away and forget about us. He continues to send some things back home to us, doesn't he? He continues to write some love letters. He continues to come and visit. He continues to make sure our every need is provided for, doesn't he? Continues to reach the lost. He's a friend to the friendless, a help to the helpless, a strength to the weak, a healer of the sick. He's a light to give direction. He's a door to those that need entry, a shepherd to those that need led. He's a vine that sustains our spiritual lives. He's a rock that gives us stability. And the list can go on and on and on of all the ways Christ loves His church. We say, how much does Christ love his church? More than Himself. More than Himself. He loves the church so much that His bride is referred to as the body of Christ. That's an intense love. That's a real love. That's a real love. The body of Christ. He loves it so much that the identity of the bride takes on the title of the one that she is betrothed to. We take on the title, the body of Christ. We're the bride, but we take on that title. When I got married, standing in front of Elder Brother Wilcoxon, and we said our vows, and we turned around, and I kissed the bride. I don't know if she kissed me. And he announced, he said, Mr. and Mrs. Micah Allen Carnes. He didn't announce Mr. Micah Allen Carnes and Mrs. Lisa Marie Thompson. We were joined. We had the same identity, the same name, right? We went out in the world as one. Our identity changed because of that commitment, because of that vow that we made to each other. You look at your marriage, your identity changed. I hope it changed. You have a healthy marriage, it's because something changed. And we look at the body of Christ, or we look at the bride of Christ, it's one and the same. He loves us so much, and we ought to love Him so much that we take on that identity, we take on that title. It's more than a metaphor, it's a spiritual reality that reflects divine unity. It reflects that high agape love. And it identifies that true selfless service, one for the other. That's how Christ approaches this side of the relationship. How about our side? Right? Healthy relationship goes both ways, doesn't it? A healthy one does. We can emphasize Christ's love for the church, but what about our side? Are you saved? You've been purchased? You've been redeemed? Have you been bought back? Has that sin debt been paid for? I couldn't pay for it. My good works couldn't pay for it. My adapting to a form of tradition wasn't good enough. No. We could pretend. Sure. We could pretend. Kids still pretend that they get married. Little kids. It comes an age, young people, you need to stop pretending. Yeah. Thank you for the amen.
One amen, a lot of laughter.
Yeah, nervous laughter. A healthy relationship isn't one-sided, where one does all the work and the other one does all the taking. In jest, my wife has often repeated to me, what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine. Yeah, did I get that right? I've heard it many times. In jest, she says it. And then she practices it. A healthy relationship isn't one-sided. It's working one for the other, right? What's happening in that type of relationship where only one side is active? There's something going wrong. There's a wrong motive, isn't there? Have you ever seen people that simply got married as a business transaction? I think they call it marrying up, something like that. We call them gold diggers. Fortune hunters, social climbers. There's a saying that says it takes two to fall in love, but only one to fall out of love. It takes two to fall in love and two to stay in love. All right, look at your relationship with Christ. You're a new convert, you're going to learn how to love Christ. It's a beautiful thing. See people come and see the love of Christ shown to them, see them get saved. They find that joy in their salvation. It thrills our heart to see them enjoying that relationship with Christ. Right? But there's a difference between young love and old love, isn't there? Mm-hmm. We need to have a mature love for Christ. You need to allow your love to grow. You need to allow it to mature. Not to be conditional, not to be sidetracked, not to be conflicted, not to become distracted. A couple quotes. They're not from the Bible, but they'll help us. Young love is a flame. Old love is glowing coals. What happens to a flame? Goes out quickly. It can be blown out. But coals, you can, if you have a bank of coals, it'll burn long. It'll stay hot all night long. Young lovers look at each other. Old lovers look in the same direction. How's your relationship with Christ? How's your vision? Are you looking at the cause? Are you looking at His cause? That's mature love. That's when you're starting to grow. It's not all about yourself anymore. It's not all about my feelings anymore. It's recognizing I owe so much. I love Christ so much. I'll give Him my life too. I'll give Him everything. Young love lives on feelings. Old love lives on faithfulness. It's more than feelings. More than feelings. We look at our relationship. Has our love for Christ grown? Is it growing? Been saved for a long time. Your love ought to still be growing. There's a difference between love that is built on dreams and plans, and then there is a love that's built on experience. You got to love Christ more today than you did yesterday. You got to love Him more today than you did when you were a young person. You got to love Him more today than you did whenever He last really came through for you and helped you. We love Christ because He loves us. My wife and I often say that after 21 years of marriage, our love for each other is stronger today because of what we have gone through together. Our love for Christ, it ought to be stronger today because of what we've gone through. Because of the testimony that's been built, not as an individual, but what we have built together. Without Christ, we're nothing. Without Christ, we're powerless. We don't have that strength. We don't have that ability. We don't have direction. We don't have light on our path. We're just a wandering singleton. We have some wandering singletons out here. It's good to be joined up with somebody, isn't it? To go through together. That love is made strong. It's strong by enjoying and sharing some experiences, but also by weathering some storms together. Vows are proven by unconditional, unselfish service, not just by words. Words are cheap, aren't they? But love is proven through the action. The love of Christ is great, but what of our love for Him? Our love for His church, our love for His word. Brother McCauley had a good message last night, what I heard. We'll finish the rest of it. So I believe the rest of it's probably good. You ever get offended at what somebody says to you, but they're only trying to help you? That's true love, isn't it? Mm-hmm. My wife and I have had some rather frank conversations, but they're healthy. They're good for us. I listen to her, she listens to me. There's a back and forth. We bring our burdens to Christ, don't we? We throw them upon Him. He's our burden bearer. But you know, there's sometimes He wants to talk to us, and we need to listen. That's a healthy relationship. Do we love His Word? Do we love His headship? We live in a world today that doesn't want to submit to anybody. That's perhaps why the statistics on marriage continue to slump. People don't want to get married until they're well into their 40s. Tough to build a life together. When you have all the experience yourself, are you sharing anything? I have an experience with Christ, just not an experience with me. Not just an experience of my life, it's an experience with Christ. That's precious to me. That's real. Do we love His government? Do we love the rest of His body? Oh, I love Christ. What about the body? What about the rest of the congregation? What about being fitly framed together, being joined together, being of the same mind? Amen. Coming into agreement with. Have you ever had to do that, Brother Foltz? Come into agreement with your wife? Does she ever have to come into agreement with you? Sure. Amen.
Both ways.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to come into agreement with Christ, don't we? We submit ourselves. He is our head. Over time, we can begin to take Christ for granted, specifically His body. We can take it for granted. Did you take it for granted this year and all of a sudden you're like, what happened to camp meeting and we've really missed being with the saints? How about at home? Body of Christ is there. That's the body of Christ. I just don't love Christ during fellowship meeting. Camp meeting. We got together for a funeral this year. Yeah, everybody comes for, I don't know if we came for the funeral or for fellowship.
Probably both.
Yeah, a little bit of both. But our fellowship ought to be at home, right?
Yes.
It ought to be at home. Ought to be in our own home congregation. We love the body locally, don't we? If we become careless, assuming, taking each other for granted, thoughtless, this is a progression. Start to become critical. Start to pick a little bit. Mm-hmm. Every woman likes to be told what you don't like about her, right? Sisters, you enjoy your husband letting you know about your weight, letting you know about your gray hair, letting you know about the things that you could do to improve yourself. Do you like that? Anybody? No, you don't like that, do you? What happens in that type of relationship? You start to lose respect. You lose an appreciation. You start to become critical, fault-finding. Really, it's feeding an unhappiness and an attitude of complaint. And what's happening there? You're slowly falling out of love. And we can fall out of love with Christ. I had a job at Westinghouse, and there was a lot of walkers during lunch. And there was a group of women that we soon began to refer to. And I mean, this is office-wide. It was a big office. And everybody on our floor identified this group of women as the divorcee club. Office politics are amazing. And we would watch this group of women, and they would walk during lunch, and you could hear them. You'd pick up little pieces of their conversation. I heard it. Other guys were hearing it. And pretty soon they're coming together and like, did you hear what they're talking? Mm-hmm. That's That's not a real happy group. Well, you know what they were doing? They were ripping their husbands apart. So they became known as the Divorcee Club. And very slowly and gradually and over time, their airing of their dissatisfaction, it caused them to become estranged from their husbands. And it was only a matter of time before, you know, people start becoming single. Mm-hmm. What was happening? Their complaint caused them to start to lose their respect, their appreciation, their love. It started to evaporate. Love just doesn't happen and stay. It has to be fed. It has to be kept alive. When we fail to respect what we should be loving, then we will fail to continue in that relationship. There's a term that has become very prevalent in our society. It's called gray divorce. I've told our congregation about this term. It's a term used for those age 50 and above who have enjoyed marriage for some 20, 30 years and only to separate after many of life's accomplishments have been achieved and hardships have been weathered together. The divorce rate in 50-year-olds has doubled over the past 30 years and tripled for those age 65 and older. What's happened in our society? People in a long-term relationship suddenly find themselves as having fallen out of love, unfulfilled in their relationship, dissatisfied with what they did not get to experience, blaming that on the other party. And what happens is that somebody begins to quit working at that relationship. Christ had a message for the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 and 4. It said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." Love doesn't always last. And it's the fault of one individual. It only takes one. Christ ought to be our first love. Our only love. If it's any other way, our relationship with Christ is coming to an end. There's another term that's used out there, and it's called silent separation. Check yourself today. Silent separation. Look at how you worship God. Did you bring praise to the house of God? Do you have any kind words for Christ this week? You say anything nice to him? I like to hear nice things from my wife. She likes to hear nice things from me. Sometimes she'll put a card in my lunch. I keep it on my desk at work. Just little mementos. They're special to me. Every once in a while, I'll stop and buy her flowers, take them home. My kids will remind me the last time I bought my wife flowers. They take note of this. But you know what else? We take note of each other. And when there's silent separation, it becomes very obvious to us, doesn't it? They haven't testified in a while. They don't even sing in church. They just kind of stand there and look around. What are they looking at? Pick, 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 pick. I don't like. That's the truth. It's called silent separation. Lack of engagement. Conflicting priorities. Well, I love Christ privately. I'm married publicly. I'm not running around acting like I'm available to everybody. I'm married to one person. I made a commitment to one person. And when it comes to us spiritually, I made a commitment to Christ, and I live that way. My love is shown for Christ, not just on Wednesday night and not just on Sundays, not just during fellowship meeting. I love Christ, therefore I offer him my praise. I spend time in his word. I give him thanks for what he's done, and I have an expectation of his return. We can grow apart, can't we? We can become distant. We can develop separate interests and no longer share the same cause. Our cause can become very one-sided. I heard good exhortation this week. Look at where the cause of Christ is and get on board.
Amen.
And stay on board. There are some things that I want to do personally, but because my wife doesn't want to do it, I don't do it.
Right.
And it goes both ways. It goes both ways. And there's some things that Christ wants us to do, and you need to do it. You need to get on board, right? You need to submit yourself to the head, Christ. Not just develop your own course of action and what you want to do and what you won't do. If you love him, you'll follow. Amen. True love causes us to do some things that we don't always feel like doing. I don't always feel like doing some things. But because I love Christ, I say yes. I'll submit myself to him. Where else does separation occur? Through the development of independence, making our own way, living a separate life in the same household. That's a recipe for separation. Two ships that are passing in the night. That's not healthy. It's not a healthy home. Well, is it healthy in a congregation if we're just all doing our own thing and there's no order, there's no structure, there's no vision to follow? There's a problem there, isn't there? We can become rather isolated from the body. When church becomes optional, we become isolated. There's some separation occurring. We have a fellowship meeting. You don't take time to fellowship. You're separating.
Amen.
Did you fellowship? Oh, I came to church. It's not good enough. I just kind of walked around the grounds and looked at things. I took notes. I let Brother Carnes know all the things that they missed this week. We'll hear about that on Wednesday night.
Suggestions.
Yes. Yeah. We got the suggestions. We get suggestions every year. Did you notice that we still have two volleyball courts out here? That was one of them. There's a lot of things that we have to adapt to because we love. We love. Our worship service, we worship, we praise. We're not just a bystander in this.
Amen.
You don't have to go out to the world to become unfaithful to Christ. You don't have to go out in the world to be unfaithful to Christ. You can just quit doing what you're expected to do. I don't have to file for divorce to be unfaithful to my wife.
Right.
I can just quit going to work. I can quit caring about her. Brother Micah, that's not terms for anything. No, but it is being unfaithful to the vow that I made to her. That's unfaithfulness. You know what's going to happen? My affection can become turned towards something else. And where does that affection usually end up being turned? Right towards the individual. We start to love ourselves more than the one that loves us more than anything else. That is disloyal, isn't it? When I got married, I had a desire. And with that desire came responsibility to provide, to care, to build a life together. It became that motivation, and there has to be a motivation in our relationship with Christ. There has to be a motivation that drives that obedience to him, that urgency, that zeal within our life that says, this is the cause, this is what I'm living for. This is what I love most. It's not take care of me, answer my prayer, give me help. Make things go my way. That's self-indulgence, isn't it? What of our desire? What of your desire? Psalm 27. I love this scripture. If it's not underlined, shame on you for 6 weeks. Psalm 27, verse 4. One. Starts out with that. One thing. I got a lot of desires. There needs to be one. One at the top. If there's any other thing, any other desire at the top, your relationship isn't what it needs to be. One thing have I desired of the Lord. I don't have a laundry list. I've got one thing up there. We have our prayer requests. We have our burdens. We have our needs. We have the things we'd like to see God work out for us. But those are way down. There's one thing I desire. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and it's going to motivate me. That will I seek after. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing have I desired. One thing whets the appetite even more and more. The more that I serve him. We sing that song, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. Does it get sweeter for you? Is it sweeter today? We spent some time with Christ. It ought to be sweeter. It ought to be sweeter. You ought to feel that welling up within your heart. I've been with Christ. He cares about me. He's still providing for me. He cares for me. He's there in my tough times. He's there in the good times.
Thank you.
And what's it fueling? That one desire. I want to continue. I want to continue to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I just don't want to say it. I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to stay close to the body of Christ. I want to remain that pure, undefiled bride. I want to keep myself. I want to bring honor to him. That desire, it ought to burn within us, right?
That's right.
Ought to burn within us. You ought to feel odd when you start to get a little bit separated.
Yeah.
Can't be at church. If I can't make it to camp meeting, I feel awkward. I'm not a big crowd person, but I miss being with the saints. The body's over here doing something and I'm sitting at home. Makes you feel empty, doesn't it? And all of you that are listening and left early, shame on you. I hope you feel real bad. It does. It makes us feel odd, doesn't it? I had to go on a business trip this year over my anniversary. And I'm thinking, I had some plans I wanted to do. We wanted to do some things. And I got an email that said, hey, we need you to go away. And part of that vow is that I would provide for my wife. So I need to make sure I provide. And so I'm spending our anniversary. I did go out to a restaurant by myself. I ordered a T-bone steak. I ate it by myself. I celebrated solitude, but somebody had to watch the kids. So she stayed at home. I'm out working, and it felt really odd, awkward, right? I'm just going to sit at this table and eat a steak, and I'll call her later on, and it wasn't quite the same. It's not the same, is it? It's not the same when we're only getting some messages over a live stream or picking something up it's like reaching in the refrigerator for, leftovers, but you missed the first course. Yeah. It's not the same. You feel odd. What is that? It's our desire. It's our desire. I want to be with Christ. I want to be with his body. I want to be with the saints. I want to sit under the word of God. I want to feel his presence. I don't just want somebody to tell me. I want to see it myself. I want to feel it myself. John saw it, and you need to see it. John saw the bride. You need to see the bride. All right, last scripture, Romans 8. A healthy union is inseparable. It is inseparable. It's not even a part of our dialogue. is not a part of our thought process. Amen. You love Christ enough, there's nothing worth separating over. You love the body enough, there is nothing worth separating over. And if there is a reason, you're already starting to separate. There's a problem. You know who needs to do the reconciling? You need to. Christ has already proven his love. 1,000% already proven it. Romans 8, 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice he said who. Wasn't an object. Talk about committing that spiritual fornication, that spiritual adultery. It's a who. It's pulling us away from our first love. It's the bride being pulled away. You say, well, the church will always be. What about us? What about us? You, the individual. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things, we are more than committed. We're committed to this cause. For I am persuaded. Personally, I am persuaded. Are you? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come. I had no idea what I was going to face in my life. I had no idea what I was going to face in marriage. A lot of things have happened in 21 years. But it's stronger today than it was back in 2005. Your experience with Christ. Got saved as a young person. I had no idea what life was going to hold for me. I had a desire. I built an experience. And I love him more today than I ever have. Yes. And you need to have that testimony too. Amen. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. How's your relationship this morning? Ought to be stronger than ever.